see that, I think, of 2014 when we went up to Vanya and there was nothing there with Harvest Tabernacle, didn't exist, and to see all what's taking place, I'm really moved in my heart. And Harvest has been a major part of that. I'll let Haran and Chande share that, but I'm so thankful you didn't quit. We didn't quit. Amen? Look, wasn't that amazing? Can we give God praise for what he's doing? It's absolutely amazing. It says this, the one who perseveres to the end, Matthew 24, will be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. And then the end shall come. You know, we want to give as much time to Haran and Chande because they have tremendous testimonies they'd like to share. I first met Haran and Chande back in 2003, and in 2007 they were married, and they immediately moved to Minnesota in the winter in a one-bedroom in our old church in a one-bedroom little apartment, and they served as interns for about a year and then went back to Sri Lanka. Haran earned his bachelor's degree in Christian ministry from Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas. And Chande attended Bible school in the UK and holds a master's degree in development studies from the University of Colombo in Sri Lanka. They both have doctorate degrees in Christian ministry from Minnesota Graduate School of Theology. Together they founded and now pastor Harvest Tabernacle in Vanya. This was back in 2014, so it's coming up on 9-10 years. Haran and Chande founded Empower Global, a nonprofit organization that focuses on rebuilding and transforming individuals, families, and communities by strengthening the link between emergency, rehabilitation, and development. And Haran is on the leadership team of Oasis Alliance, a network of apostolic leaders in Sri Lanka, is a member of the International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. Haran and Chande are proud parents to a 13-year-old girl, Anya. Can Church for the Harvest please welcome Haran and Chande as they come up here? God bless you guys.
Thank you, Pastor Michael. Well, praise God, family. My wife is with me, so that's very encouraging. Thank you, once again, for your love, all that was possible because you said yes along with us. Amen. And in 2014, when Pastor Mike and Rhonda and a missions team from here came to Sri Lanka, and for the first time, we were out there just meeting that community of Sinhala people. And then also Pastor Mike and Rhonda and the leadership here was doing a pastoral conference in the city of Vavuniya. And out of that, who would have ever imagined Harvest Tabernacle? Hallelujah. So we bring greetings to you, Harvest Alexandria, all the way from Harvest Vavuniya, Sri Lanka. Chandi.
Amen. Greetings from Sri Lanka. I'm so glad to be back. I'm here after 7 years. And I told Rhonda this morning, I feel like I'm home. And this is home away from home for me because of the family that you have become to me. So thank you so much for all your prayers, encouragement, investment, everything that you've done for us in love. And it has gone a long way, as you saw in the video. And we are so thankful to you. And we love you greatly.
Thanks, La. Well, praise God for the sunny weather. Isn't that amazing? Just for us, love, just for you. Well, we were in Florida with Mickey and Rick. Most of you know, they are a fantastic couple, absolutely. And so we were spending time with the church there and ministry. And we are so blessed to come here to a home away from home just to bring testimony. And just to say thank you for all that you do from your end. What you saw there was a team impact that God is doing for the nation of Sri Lanka. Many years ago, at a Bible school graduation in 2003, when Pastor Mike and Rhonda and the team was here, and I was in the first graduating class, and Pastor Mike got there and said a prophetic word that gripped my heart, and it resonated even up today. He said, the minority shall be the majority. Hallelujah. The minority is becoming the majority every moment, every day, every week, every month, every year. Hallelujah. It's becoming the majority. I've been saved for over 35 years. I was saved when I was just a 12-year-old kid. And I've watched the moves of God in Sri Lanka. And I've seen how God has been moving very strategically in the communities, in business, in families, in schools, in media, arts and entertainment, in government. And this is all possible because of family. And I want to leave with you this morning a word I believe is from God to encourage you. The importance of being a part of the family. Hallelujah. That's why Harvest says you belong. I want to unpack some revelation and encourage you. The importance and the significance of you belong. Hallelujah. My title this morning is Apostolic Family. Can we all say that one more time? Apostolic Family. Acts 2 and verse 1 through 4 is very familiar for us. I'm just going to read it real quick. And out of that, I want to share with you a revelation God gave me about the significance, the importance of a spiritual family, of an apostolic family that creates impact that is transgenerational. On stage, this is amazing sight. On stage, I was so blessed to see there were different generations on stage. You call it transgenerational. What is transgenerational? Transgenerational is when a leader leads a group of a team of people with a purpose to fulfill said objectives. And the impact transcends generations. It's not only the youth, it's not only the kids, but the adults. It transcends, the impact transcends. There it was on stage. We saw different generations here. I love the brother who played the bass. Amazingly, he blended in there. And boy, Jesus was here. Amen. The different voices. So beautiful, so beautiful. And this morning, it's important for us to understand the importance of family. Why have God called us far and near? What's the purpose? When God calls you, He doesn't call you to a church. He calls you to a place. In that place, He plants a church and raises a family. Because He's all about sons and daughters coming back. He sowed His Son, the Bible says. John 3 and verse 16. His only begotten Son. So that He could reap families. So that He could reap sons and daughters like you and me. Acts 2 verse 1 through 4 it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have heard this passage of Scripture many times, but I believe God is unpacking something significant for you to know in this time and season. God has called you for a time such as this. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, two significant things happen. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. Hallelujah. The birth of the church signifies a family. They were with one accord. Tongues of fire set on each one of them. All of you are important to fulfill the vision God has given this house. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 1, as a father sent me, I send you. And the word sent is referred to apostle. And that's where you get the word also apostolic. Jesus sends you, apostolos you. He sends you, not go. If it's go, you're on your own. Hallelujah. If it's sent, you are anointed. Amen. Matthew 6 speaks about how Jesus taught his people, his disciples, how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. He would have said, my God. He would have said, the Almighty, the Unconquerable. But he said, our Father who art in heaven. How many of you love the Lord's Prayer? Anyone of you? Come on. You can raise your hands. Hallelujah. It's amazing. It's personal. If we have a father, that means there is a family. Amen. Ephesians 3 and verse 15 says, of whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So there is a significance between the two terms, apostolic and family. It's not something out there. It's in the Bible. The book of Genesis begins with a family. In fact, Revelations ends with the marriage supper of the Lamb, family. It speaks about the family of Noah. Exodus speaks about the family of Moses. It speaks about the family of David. When you read through the Psalms, it speaks about the relationship David had with God. The New Testament unfolds with Jesus and his family of 12. Yeah, his family of 12. Wherever Jesus went, there were 12 following him. When he sat to eat, when he was in a boat, when he was off the boat, when he was in the lakes of Minnesota. Come on, Jeff, I'd rub this in. Looking for fish. Frustrated when there was no fish, like some of us. Jesus was there. Hallelujah. In fact, the first miracle happened. Come on, somebody. Around a family. It was at a wedding. Is God trying to tell us something here? Is God trying to paint a picture here? Family, folks, is very important to God. And it is important to harvest. It's important to all of us. In the Hebrew culture, everything happened around family. It's not me, I, and my thing. No, that was not a part of them. It's I. It was tribal. They shared everything. They would break bread and they would have with one another. There was brotherly love that was practiced on a daily basis. Let me give you three attributes of an apostolic family. You are ready for this? Identity, relationship, and assignment. We are not orphans. Come on. We are not orphans. Up in the north, I've spoken to many orphans, and it breaks my heart. But as we lead them to Christ, as we lead them to our apostolic family, our community at the church, they embrace it, and they enter our family. You saw Esther. Her mom and dad just left her. Come on. One day, her mom said, let's go to the market down the lane. And so Esther was on the bike. And she said, the mom said, can you go and buy me some milk? Esther went to the shop and bought some milk and turned back. Mom was missing. These are times and seasons that we live in. It's so difficult. Mom was missing. And she was all over in that bike searching for mom. And she couldn't find mom. Difficult times. But now She's come into the family. And there's restoration, there's healing, there's deliverance, come on. There's recovery, and there's destiny. Amen. There's destiny. I'm a product because you as a mission team stepped out of your convenience, out of your comfort zone, and took a plane ride over 20 hours one way to Sri Lanka. I was at a meeting like this, and Pastor Mike and Pastor Steve and Pastor Pete, who's going to be with the Lord now, and he singled me out and said, young man, we all do this, the turn and the look. Oh my goodness, there were no other young men around there. Man, only this dude. I was hoping that there's at least another one. And you know how Pastor Mike keeps looking, and oh my goodness. And then he said, come up forward. And so I came forward, and God spoke to me. And he said, son, I've called you as a preacher, and I'm giving you a second chance. Some of you have got the first chance. And God may be speaking to you again about a second chance. Don't be afraid. God spoke to me also. And he said, I'm giving you a second chance. You never know whether there would be a third chance. And I took the second chance. He said, you are running with all your might, but in the wrong direction. If you surrender your life to me, I will make up for the lost years. How many of you right now are disappointed because there are some wasted years that are piggybacking on you? Anyone, one of you? Come on, thank you for those hands. Anyone else? I'm talking to you prophetically. Anyone else? I sense the presence of God encouraging you like it encouraged me. The word of God is like a two-edged sword piercing through bone and marrow. And I pray and I speak a breakthrough in your life to know that the old has gone and the new has come. Amen. That was the beginning of my life, being accepted to the family. Hallelujah. Apostolic leaders are called to lead the church in good times, in tough times, in turbulent times, no matter how difficult it is. Apostolic leaders, we keep leading and leading and leading. Come on. Paul told Timothy, he said, you should know this, Timothy. In these last days, it's going to be difficult. Everyone said, difficult. It's going to be difficult. Paul was telling Timothy, in these last days, you need to know this. Harvest, it's going to be difficult. Why? Because the war out there is nothing like it has ever been. Evil is rampant all over. Shootings and killings and whatnot. Evil is all over the place. But the Bible says, where sin abounds, come on, grace abounds even more. These are times where we need to preserve and to protect what God has given us. He's given us family to fulfill assignment. Amen. Hallelujah. John 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as received him, he gave the right to be called children of God. We are no longer orphans. Come on, we are children. You are children. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Hallelujah. As family, we are a part of the family of heaven. We are a part of the Lord himself. Amen. John 15 and verse 15 says, no longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Imagine Jesus telling this about you. He's saying, no longer I call you servants, but friends. There was a shift in the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. Before, it would have been like filial, just a friendship, just just like a master servant. But the time came to go deep. Everyone said deeper. Deeper. Everyone said deeper. Deeper. One more time, deeper. Deeper. I believe harvest It's time for you to go deeper. You know why? Because Jesus is no longer here now. He is here. That's why after the resurrection, Jesus came after Peter and said, "Do you love me, Peter?" Peter said, "Yes, I love you." Jesus asked him the same question again. "Do you love me, Peter?" He gave him the same answer. "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me, Peter?" Jesus was loving Peter at this level. And Peter was loving Jesus at this level. You can't do it in a family. Either you love him or you don't. Amen. Your dad and your mom in your family loves you at this level. Come on, somebody. They love you at this level. Why? They've sacrificed their personal goals. They've sacrificed many things. Jesus sacrificed, he even sacrificed his life for Peter. And he was expecting Peter to love Jesus like he would love Peter. Hallelujah. There was a moment in time where Jesus was really in love with his disciples. And he said, "You know what? Always Jesus makes the first move." He says, "I no longer call you servants, but friends. I no longer call you slaves, but sons." Meaning sons and daughters. The root meaning or the idea of son, the builder of the family house. Isn't that amazing? The builder of the family house. God has not called you to tear down. He's called you to build. Why? You're not a slave. You're not a servant. You're a son and a daughter. The importance of being a son and a daughter is he or she comes alongside the spiritual leadership, the dad and the mom, and build together. That's what I did with my spiritual dad and mom. When I went back home in 2007, Chandi and myself, and many told us, "You know what? You've graduated. You have all these credentials. And now you need to think of going on your own." That's what some of them told me. And I said, "You know what? I don't understand this language. I don't know what it means. All that I know is just coming alongside my spiritual dad and mom and just supporting them, just building them." How many of you know family is not easy? Amen. I'm telling you, hey, Harvest, family is easy. You're telling me, no, no, no. Family is tough. Come on. Family is tough. Even though the family is tough, we don't quit. Why? Because of covenant. It's a covenant relationship with your leadership, with your spiritual leaders and you. Amen. Jesus is calling them closer to serve with him. He knew his time is short and he had to share many things in his heart. There are many things in the heart of your spiritual leaders they would love to share with you. But it takes you to know your identity. If you are a son and a daughter, then you will build with your words. You will build with your actions. Hallelujah. Acts 2 and verse 4, it says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Being filled with the Holy Ghost gave them an opportunity to have access and enter and to be welcome to the family. Hallelujah. Not just speaking in tongues. Gifts are good, but that's not the end result. All this is important so that you can build alongside. You can support alongside. Amen. That's it with the slaves and servants. They are about themselves. They are about their goals. But a son and a daughter will say, "Dad, mom, what can I do? How can I serve?" Amen. That's what Isaiah heard. God speaking in the throne room. "Whom shall we send? who shall go for us? And I said, come on, I shall go. When God called us home, when God called us to the north, boy, the north is just, some of you have been in war and fought in battle know that any place where there is war, it's a disaster. It's just horrible. You'll ask me, Pastor, tell me your definition of war. You want to know my definition of war? Jack, I have no definition. It's so cruel. To relationship. Verse 1 says of Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. It's important for an apostolic family to be in one accord, meaning to be united together, to be in agreement, not disagreement. Someone said two visions is division. John 15 and verse 7 says about the true wine. It speaks about the true wine. And it says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Can I take it a little more further? It speaks about the true family. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. As sons and daughters, it's not about me and my thing, my desire, my plans. No, we come into the family and we begin to love on each other. We begin to be a part of the family. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. It says if. It doesn't say when in your Bibles. It says if. It's a choice. It's a choice. Let me tell you something about your Heavenly Father. He created you with the power of choice. The choices you make, make you. Amen. It's a choice. It's a condition. Abide meaning stay, remain, rest. When God calls you into a church, He calls you to be a part of the apostolic family. He calls you to stay. Come on, take a break. Stay. It's not microwave. It's marinade. Just take it easy. Take a breather. Just relax. There's so much of stuff that goes on each and every one of us when we join the family. Why? We come from broken down families. In the Garden of Eden, our forefathers, they were broken down. The family was broken down because of sin. So that keeps coming from generation to generation. And that's where it's important for you to give the leadership an opportunity to minister love, to minister forgiveness, to minister deliverance, to minister hope, to minister restoration, so that you would be a winner. Hallelujah. Three assignments. Assignment. What is assignment? It's simply God's plan for you. God's plan for you happens when you are a part of the apostolic family. Hallelujah. A son and a daughter is someone who builds that family home. And God calls you with purpose. He wants to execute His plan over your life. Hallelujah. Whenever God wants to do something significant in a given place, what He does first is He raises up a dad and a mom in that place. And through that dad and that mom, there's a family that is being built. And through that family, God fulfills His plan for that place. Could it be that God has a greater plan for Alexandria? Could it be that God has a greater plan for this city? Could it be that God has the best plan than the enemy for this community, and he has called you as an apostolic family? He's called Pastor Mike and Rhonda about 26 years ago when they said yes in a living room. And today, look around. Sons and daughters have been birthed to carry that vision and take it home. Hallelujah. Family is our most precious place. The Lord's most designated unit is family. We must make our family unit a shelter from the storm and not be the storm. Not you, they, not be the storm. Negative influences can penetrate the walls of our families to weaken and crack them. And that's why it's important every now and then to speak to you about the significance of you being a part of this apostolic family for the glory of God. Amen. There are three models of the church. The first model is the pastor model. Everything that the pastor does, he does it for the congregation. He has to sacrifice his me time, his family time, his fishing time for the sake of the church. His preaching has to be politically correct. The lighting on the stage has to be just perfect. The AC, just right. The pastor model is a people pleaser. If he says something out, he's out. It's been ruled by a board. That's the pastor model. And we see that model all across the world, all across the nations, here and abroad. Then there's a second model, the leader model. Everything everyone does is to gratify the leader, to lift him up. He's above everything else. Your time, your effort, your money, your gifts, everything is to lift him up, the leader model. We see that even with Saul, he was after David. He was like above everyone else, so tall. But his leadership was horrible. It led Israel to the ditches. And also there is a third model called the kingdom model. That's what you are. The kingdom model. We see how during the time of Abraham, when Lot was taken by the enemy, there were servants in Abraham's household. They were raised as children, about 318 of them. And they went out after the enemy and delivered Lot and brought him back. The kingdom model is we come together as family and we go out as army. Imagine we come together as army. Oh my goodness. No. We come together as family. Come on. We come together as family. With our relationships. Loving one another. Caring for one another. Our sister shared about the care that she had for that situation. We go beyond our convenience. Many times, as spiritual sons and daughters, sometimes we think we know better, isn't it? Come on, somebody. We think we have the best, better plan. We have the better way. In fact, we have the better answers. But could I tell you a secret? Sometimes it's important to bite the bullet. Bite it and just hold on. Because this field is not a baseball field out there. It's a minefield. Young guys, any young guys, just raise your hand. Teenagers. Out there is not a baseball field. It's a minefield. And they know when they look where the mines are buried, that's instinct. They know that. And even in the north, sometimes I would meet with some of my guys and they say, Pastor, there were other soldiers with us And when we go into areas to attack the enemy, we would look at a path and we would know this looks okay and safe. And suddenly they would cut across and say, hey, hold on. I don't feel right about this deal. I don't feel right about this relationship. I don't feel right about your move. Hold on. And they would go in front and they would pick out the landmines. Come on. And they would tell me, it's mind-blowing. We think there's not a grain of sand here and there, or the earth shifted. It's all just, but they have instinct. Your spiritual leaders, they have instinct. They know. They have greater discernment. That's what it is. Just surrender and give them an opportunity. We, Chand and I, are a product of spiritual leadership speaking into our lives. And today, we are creating history in Sri Lanka because of mentors like Pastor Mike and Rhonda, Pastor Woody and Mel, has gone to be with Jesus, and they poured into our lives and taught us the better way. Amen. As we rise to our feet, I would just want to bring this to a close and allow you to examine your heart. Yes, you are a part of the family. You're a part of this apostolic community. But are you in that place for God to speak into your heart? Are you in that place for God to show you what is right and wrong? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to say, Lord, you've called me to build. Not only that you belong here, but also there's a transgenerational leadership in this place that is inviting you to build together. In this last 26 years, just look around you. Not only that you have been building in this city, you have been building in cities around the world. How amazing is this? You should be very encouraged about yourself because you are not only about your neighbor, but the nations. Hallelujah. There are 25 nations represented apart from America now. 25 other nations. Imagine another 20 years from now, what would be the impact? And so we need you. They need you as sons and daughters to protect what God has built in this place for His glory. Some of you may tell me, Pastor, God has called me and He has a great plan over my life. What must I do? Join the family. Be a part of the family. Be that son and daughter that God has called you. Understand that you have an identity. And it's important for you to build relationship with your fellow brothers and sisters and your leadership in this place so that God would unpack the assignment He has for you. Identity also speaks about your alignment. When you don't identify yourself as a son or daughter, you are out of alignment. What do you mean out of alignment? You are out of order. When you are out of order, it's easy for the enemy to attack you in your mind. It's easy for the enemy to attack you in your heart. It's easy for the enemy to attack you in your walk with God. But identity is coming into alignment. You are in order with what God plans for you and through you. There's order in this place. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that your pastor and Rhonda and your leadership together, day in and day out, they work to see how they could bring order in your spiritual life, in the ministry, with the fulfilling vision. Amen. In that order, as you come into alignment and protect the relationships God gives you because of covenant, then God is able to fulfill His assignment through you. There are many out there, they are still running around like vagabonds. They are just every year. There were many 25 years ago, with me, as he joined the ministry, as we came, was a part of the church and the apostolic family. And a year or two down the line, they were offended and they took off. 5 years down the line, one or two others got offended and they took off. Up to date, they are still off. They are still off. They are out of alignment. Greater preachers, greater talent. I mean, you name it. I mean, some of those guys are even taller than me and broad shoulders like some of you. Huge, like David's brothers. But they didn't want to surrender. They didn't want to humble themselves and be a part of the family and just give God some time to deal with their heart and be raised up as sons and daughters, up to date. And some of them, I do not even know where they are anymore. They are not serving God. They are so bitter. They are so angry. And they are still the same, stunted. When you are out of alignment, you are out of order. When you are out of order, you are stunted. God cannot use you. God has a way to use you. And his way is family. His way is the apostolic community in the church. Like a plant planted by the rivers of living water, then God begins to flow through you and you begin to grow as a son and a daughter and take ownership in this place so that God can fulfill his plan for your life called assignment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this precious moment of time. Lord, to examine ourselves and know that you are calling us deeper with our walk with you, deeper with our relationship with you, deeper with our relationship with one another. I sense there's a fresh move of God to make room in this house for sons and daughters to emerge. Amen. You're going to take the gospel not only to your neighbor, but like your spiritual leaders to the nations. Some of you are going to put some of those flags in this place. And you are going to join the vision and the excitement of what God has done for all these many years. Father, I thank you for a great awareness to know the significance and the importance of being a part of the apostolic family in this house to fulfill your plan over their life. I take authority in Jesus' name against all evil attacks, evil assignments to sabotage the plans of God in this house, and know that you've called Harvest Alexandria for a time such as this to build and to plant in the nations to usher in the glory of God. And someone said, amen. Thank you, folks.
The Lord. Stand with me if you would, please. Thank you that for that word that is timely on family. In this holy moment, if we could just still our souls, we're going to have opportunity here in a moment to give, to bless them. But I just feel to pray with every head bowed. Haron really shared a word about that God has called each and every one of us to be a part of the family. And it's messy. It's messy at times. And I believe the Lord is inviting, even now, with every head bowed, many of you here this morning. It doesn't mean that you don't know the Lord, but maybe you've been like an orphan, separated. Maybe the enemy is working you over to have you become an orphan. We don't want that. You don't want that. I just want to pray for you as a prayer of getting locked back in, planted. And if Harvest isn't the place for you, that you would find a place, that you would grow thereby. But I do know this, that Harvest is an apostolic work. It is divine planting. I'm not smart enough, talented enough, to be able to weather over the last 25 years, what we've been able to. It just shows that the Lord's favor is on this house. God's favor is here, not because of me, but just there are things, my wife and I, we've had to make decisions and choices, and I really believe God is honoring this house, this place. This is good soil for you to grow yourself, to be planted in the house of God. You say, okay, Pastor, that's me. I feel the move of the Spirit to plant, to be a part of, but most importantly, for you to return back to the Lord. And so I'm going to pray a prayer of repentance. I ask you to pray it, to invite afresh and anew Christ into your life and a commitment to be obedient to whatever he asks you to do. Is that all right, church? Pray with me. Say this. Say, Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Jesus, in this holy moment, I invite you into my life. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Jesus, I give you my life. Now take it. Thank you for saving me. Jesus, I will be obedient to what you tell me what to do in these next steps. In Jesus' name, amen.